So we're in the Lenten season. For those of you that may or may not know it, this is the time of season of the last 40 days of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross and then dies and gives himself in sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. That's how great God's love was and is, that he loves us so much that he gave his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And as we believe in the Son of God that gives us all life and forgiveness, many of us need that all the time, right? If you're a human being going through this life, very often we need things for which we have forgiven or forgiveness, right? And so that's what part of this season is about. It culminates with Easter, where Jesus rises from the dead, and he even overcomes death and everything that that means to each and every one of us. So I wanted to go into this morning some of the things that I went over with a little bit on Ash Wednesday, because Ash Wednesday actually began our Lenten season. And the reason we have Ash Wednesday is so that we can make a commitment to change our hearts and our minds, to fast on some things that are perhaps not in connection with God's will for us or don't help our benefit our relationship with God. And we also wanted, at the same time, there are some things we can begin to do that would help benefit us and deepen our relationship with God and with one another. And so that we can be more love on earth. That's what God sent Jesus to show, is God's love. And so we, as God's ambassadors, we're here also to show God's love to one another, right? And the more we know God and who God is, the more we have God in us, the more we can love. That's what we are focusing on the next 40 days. And so I wanted to kind of go over where this comes from spiritually as well, or scripturally, where Jesus went before his ministry began. He was 30 years old. And before he began his ministry, God sent him through the Holy Spirit into the desert. Into the desert. So for 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and he fasted. So let me pick up the story here, Matthew chapter 4. So I want you to begin with me, verse 1, Matthew chapter 4. It says, Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and became very hungry. So here's what happens. In 40 days, what happens to him? He eats nothing. For 40 days and 40 nights. And it was only after that time frame where we see that the enemy comes to tempt him, right? So what's the purpose of the 40 days and 40 nights then, of not eating? What's that fasting about? Why do we fast? Why did Jesus fast? Well, what we have to do is understand, first of all, where was he? He was in the desert. He was in the wilderness. He was away from everything and anybody, anything that could distract him from God, first and foremost, right? He was away from it all. This was one of those spiritual vacations, if you will. He was in the desert, in the wilderness. There were no disciples with him. He hadn't really started that ministry yet. It was just him and God for 40 days, 40 nights. No food, nothing to drink. And so here's the thing. Those things that are natural to us, that like Jesus, he didn't eat and he didn't drink. So sometimes from time to time in churches we fast, right? We consider not eating and not drinking fasting. And that's the literal take on this. But see, we humans in this culture, in this time, there's other things that we need to fast from, aren't they? Besides just food and drink, right? And it's particularly if we want to make our relationship deeper with God. Why did the Holy Spirit send Jesus to that desert experience? So he could be what? Totally immersed and alone with God. What do you suppose Jesus was doing in those 40 days and 40 nights? Thinking about food, thinking about something to drink. How do you think he got sustained while he was there 40 days and 40 nights? What was he doing? He was praying. He was talking to God. He was reading the scriptures, I'm sure, the scrolls. Probably had them tucked in his tunic. And there he read those scrolls, because remember, as a young boy, he was dedicated in the temple. And he often went to the temple as a young boy. And he knew the scriptures, so he learned the scriptures. 40 days, 40 nights. Ate nothing, drank nothing. So how does that relate to us? Well, I'm not asking you to give up food or drink. So this is a good sermon after all. But what I am asking you to give up are those things in your life that distract you from God, your time with God, that distract you, and perhaps you put your mind on too much more than you do on godly things, or on what God would have you be like, or scriptures, or being with one another in a spiritual way. You know, if it doesn't benefit you to get closer to God, then that needs to go out of your life, doesn't it? Right? So whatever you fast from is going to be totally different than what I fast from, or from other people fast from, right? There's some things that each and every one of us, if we do some introspective looks within ourselves to say, if God would put me on a desert island and it was just me and him, well, could I have my electronics there? How about my iPhone, my iPad, my computer, my television? You couldn't have those there, could you? Are those not sometimes distractions to us? Do you sometimes find yourself, when you are doing those things, are you thinking about God very often? Unless you're in like Bible Gateway or reading some spiritual thing, you're absorbed where? In what the world's doing. And if you really want to get yourself upset, go on Facebook and read some of the posts, particularly those political ones that are out there. If you really want to get distracted and your mind goes away from God, although maybe it might become a time where you start to pray instead for those people and those situations and what our world is facing today, right? So that's just one example of what we could fast on. I'm going to move on. After those 40 days and 40 nights, when he became hungry, the devil came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread." Jesus was pretty hungry, wasn't he? That's a temptation. You know, another way we think about the enemy or the devil is as a tempter. When we have things going on in our life that pull us away from God, or maybe when we're hungry, lonely, tired, when we're worn out, burnout, whatever it might be, emotionally or mentally speaking or physically speaking, that's when the tempter comes, isn't it? Right? And so the tempter gives us suggestions about what we could do. And he says to Jesus, he says, "Change these stones into loaves of bread." And then Jesus tells him, "No, the scriptures say people need more than bread for life." True statement? True statement? They must feed on every word of God. So see, Jesus understood that life is not about food. Life is not about the physical. Life isn't just about what we have to wear, what we have to eat. Life is about what? Feasting on the word of God. It's the word of God that will sustain us through every situation that comes into our life. When we read the word of God, which by the way, he's quoting, when we feed on the word of God, we have the word of God in order to speak back to the enemy, and we know it up here, and or we find it in our Bible, we have a way of deflecting those things that the enemy tries to tempt us with, right? All right. "Then the devil took him into Jerusalem to the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say,'" now here's the devil's quoting the scriptures. You ever see the devil quote scriptures, for example, like on Facebook? There's like a Leviticus something something that people try to say about us, right? Quoting the scriptures. "If you are the Son of God, jump off. And the scriptures say he orders his angels to protect you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on the stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, 'Do not test the Lord your God.'" So but as far as Leviticus goes, you could say, well, here's what scriptures say. "Whosoever believes in him shall have not perish but have eternal life." The scriptures also say there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. Whosoever believes shall be saved. The scriptures also say that, right? You see why you need to know the scriptures? What the word of God really says? Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you only kneel down and worship me. Jesus answered, the scriptures say, for you should worship the Lord your God and serve only him. We need not to worry about what other people try to tell us we're supposed to be doing or how we are, and what we're supposed to be as people. The scriptures say we only worship God. We don't have to worry about the government. We don't have to worry about the president or the uncles or brothers or sisters or anybody else that's out there, or any other people or other church groups that try to tell us what or who we can be. The scriptures tell us whosoever believes, right? Here's the thing. The enemy was trying to tell or distract Jesus with food, something in the natural, also throwing scriptures at him to make him do something other than what God would have for him, and thirdly, trying to put himself or even Christ himself or the devil in front of God. Which brings me back to those distractions that some of us have. The things I want you to feast on are anything or anybody that keeps you from a strong relationship with God. That's the fasting part of this sermon. So then the devil went away. Amazing. You see how easy it is to fight off the enemy? You throw scriptures at him. This book is pretty heavy and it hurts. The enemy. Right? When you know the scriptures and you read the scriptures, and if you want to know more about the scriptures, continue to open this book. Open those apps that have the Bible available to you. If you have our mobile app, you know that every day you get a daily verse through Christ the Cornerstone Church. Every day we throw something at you, trying to hit you in the head. I mean, trying to help stave off. Get it in your head, I'm trying to say. I meant to say that, yes. Now, here's what goes on next. Verse 17. I want to jump to verse 17 because here's the thing. Right after this, after these 40 days and 40 nights occur, after he fasted, Jesus began his ministry. And here's what happens. From then on, Jesus began to preach. Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And the translation I also like says, change your heart. Change your lives. Change the way you think and act. That's what this is about. So this is part two of what I want us to do through Lent. First thing we're going to do is change our heart. Ask God to change our heart. We're going to change our lives by the things that we fast from, but more importantly, by the things that we add to our lives. Service to God and to one another. So I've thrown out a challenge, and I did it Wednesday night, and I'm going to throw it out to you because you're the rest of the church that's listening to this. I think we're in like day five, I believe, of our Lenten season. So we're kind of ahead of you a little bit. So if you want to add five more things to your 40 days that begin for you now, you may. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to be challenged by intentionally stopping a daily habit. So we're going to stop some things. Stop a daily habit or a portion of your life that keeps you from God. Just stop one habit once a day, one day. Next day, you stop another habit. Next day, you stop another habit. And guess how many days you stop those new habits that you're going to let go of? 40. So guess by the time the 40 days are up, you've given up 40. 40 things that distract you or keep you from having a strong relationship with God. Now, the extra step I'm going to give you is, whoops, am I too challenging for you this morning? So first of all, we're going to let go and fast of those things that keep you from focusing on God and what God would have you become. The things that clutter up your calendar in your life, you know what those are. The things that are useless, really, but you spend a lot of time and energy on. I could mention some of those games that, you know, oh, never mind. Or there's a giraffe being born or something, I don't know. Anyway, which we're watching birth. God's, it's God. I know we can justify. This is God's beautiful creature being born. Anyway, if that brings you closer to God, so be it. But needless to say, what clutters your life? What gets in the way? What are you doing that's distracting you and keeping you from that stronger, deeper relationship with God? Where you could listen. See, when Jesus was by himself, all he could do was listen, right? And hear God's voice. Because he had a big ministry coming, right? Huge ministry to do. Don't you want your ministry and your life and your life's purpose to be greater than it was before? This is yes, right? Yes, of course you do. I see the enthusiasm. We have to throw some things away. We have to fast on those things that keep us from doing those things. Because that's what the enemy tries to do too, putting roadblocks in our way to stop us from loving each other, stop us from serving God, stop feeding the homeless, stop us from tithing, stop us from visiting with others that need us. All these things can distract us from what our work is really about, right? We're going to change our hearts and our minds today, aren't we? Yes, we are. So we're going to fast on those things now. For the next 40 days, there's a new spiritual practice, an action, or a discipline that you're going to take on. So for some of you, it's going to take 45, because you got to catch up with us. Some of you, there's no competition here, but some of us are ahead of you. Just saying. Or if you want to just 35 days, that would be okay, because that would be 35 days more than what you might have been doing anyway, correct? So I'll give you a little leeway there. Everybody gets a trophy at the end of this, right? Okay, it's all good. Because you're going to grow spiritually, right? You're going to grow spiritually. So each day you add something. Today might be a good day. We are feeding the homeless. Kind of giving you like a freebie there, a little extra credit if you want. At 3:45, we'll be at the Beacon House. It's in your bulletin. You want to join us there? You can come and just watch, but be a part of it. See, talk to some of the people there. That would be one thing today you could do to add, right? So for the next 40 days, you're going to add one thing per day that you do for God. One thing. It could be a simple phone call to somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. It could be forgiving a person every day. Some of you might have 40 people in your life you need to forgive. Or maybe there's one person you need to forgive 40 times. If you're around me, that's probably, I'm one of those people that you need to forgive daily. So that's an okay thing. I can give you that practice to start, right? You're getting my point. So, we're going to do double things here. We're going to fast like Jesus did and get closer to God, which while we're closer to God, that enables us to do more for God because we're in the right spirit of it. We can't just serve God and do for God kind of mechanically, right? We want to do it spiritually speaking. And some of us in that 40 days, maybe we fast from some of the things that are bothering us. Or, in order to fast from it, we give it to God. You know, maybe you could do this as a letting go process. Maybe some things have hurt you. Maybe some things are troubling you. Maybe there's pain or sorrow that you're feeling and going through. That's something to fast on. And going to God with that is an action you can take. Do you see what I'm saying? You catching on, church? You up for the challenge, church? I heard a hearty yes. A hearty yes. So if you notice when I post on Facebook personally, I'm putting scriptures out there that can help you. Perhaps there's some scriptures as you read them, as I post them daily. That could be perhaps the scriptures that you can learn from that specific day and see how you can apply it to your life. Or maybe you could look up some scriptures yourself. Some of the places that you can go and say, okay, God, what would you want me to know today? And you know the cool thing about the Bible? Even though sometimes you do it intentionally, like looking for, like, I want to read some verses about hope. So you go look it up in the concordance, or maybe you Google it. We're hope in the Bible, right? You get all those zillions of, right? We're the modern age today. Or maybe you're not doing it that way. Perhaps you just open up the Bible and you go through it and you say, huh, wow. You who have escaped will flourish and multiply. Oh, I like that verse. How about you? Oh, that's Isaiah 37. See how easy God can speak through the scriptures to you? You can do it randomly if you want to. Oh, that's another good one, but I'm not going to share it. You got to find it for yourself. And maybe we could have one of those biblical challenges, right? You could put out a scripture, and then I could put out a scripture, and the other person put. That would be kind of a fun thing, don't you think? Because we live and breathe on the Word of God, right? That helps sustain us. And listen to this. If you write down some of those scriptures for yourself and you learn them, you memorize them in a way that it goes into your heart, it changes you. And not only that, a month, 2 months, 5 months, 6 months down the road, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when you need that word from God, suddenly it comes back. When you minister to somebody else, suddenly those scriptures come back to life. They come back to life. So for the next 35 days, 45 days, or 40 days, however you see this, we're going to fast on things that distract us from God. We're going to get closer to God as a result. And we're going to take on one small thing or one large thing every single day. And at the end of this time frame, I'm going to see changes in all of your lives. How do I know that? Well, that's how the Word of God works. That's how the power of God works. And that's how the Spirit of God works. And if the enemy comes to you and tries to tempt you, throw the book at him. Throw the book at him. Amen? Amen. Amen.